I want to say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank Brother Curry for leading us in songs on this afternoon. I want to thank all the brothers that were participatory in our worship service on this afternoon. Thank for those prayers that were offered for others for this worship service, and also for the leading us through the other acts of worship. We find that in Acts 2:42 and verse 47, when we assemble to worship God, we have teaching from the Word of God, the Apostles' Doctrine, fellowship that we give back to the Lord, share with the Lord that which He's blessed us with. We've been led in our communion on this afternoon for those that have not participated in such, and prayers, as I said, was offered. And then we sung, praising God, verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, and having favor with all the people. And if you're on the call tonight, this afternoon, excuse me, we want you, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know we want you to be added. The Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as to be saved. We want you to know that we want you to be saved, and you only are saved when you obey the will of the Lord. And so I'll share with you, if you're on the call this afternoon, specifically what one must do to become a child of God. No one is a child of God until they obey the command of God, and they must be born again. This birth is a spiritual birth, not a physical one, that one must be born again to become a child of God. Again, we're in thank brother for also brother for reading our scripture on this afternoon. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 16, and as is what I like to do again is connect the afternoon message with the message of this morning when we spoke from the subject showing us what the word Easter means in the Bible. And so we're going to go back this afternoon and simply pick up and show what God had commanded those, his people, his children to do, and how that relates and connects with those of us that are Christians today. And so we talked about the word Easter meaning simply the Passover, when the Lord, as we studied this morning, when the Lord passed over those houses that had blood on the doorpost. So we're going to pick up at Deuteronomy chapter 16, and the verse is number one, and look at how God commanded them on three occasions that they were to honor God with feast, and what God said in those commands that he gave them. And verse number one, the Bible says, and again, our title for this afternoon, I'm sorry, is found in verse number one. It is keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. Keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. And so Moses wrote to them in verse number one, observe the month of Abib. And here's our title, keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God in the month of Abib. The Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. And we know as Christians, as we talked about this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible in verse number 7, the Bible says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So as they offered God passed over them, we have Christ as our sacrifice. And then we want to see from verse number one, note what Moses said unto them, that God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Now I want to say to those of us that are Christians, sometimes things may be real dark in your life, but what we want to know from that first verse, just as God did with those, God can work in our lives when it seems the most darkest, when it seems the most blackest, in our life, God can still work in our lives and bring us forth out of whatever we're in. And he says, thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. He says, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. God wanted them to remember, and we need to remember how God, then we talked about this morning about this was called not only the Passover, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that bread didn't have time to rise because God wanted them ready. He said to move in haste. And so they had to have that unleavened bread to eat and to move. But God wanted them, that taste that they had was somewhat of a bitter taste because God wanted them to remember. Moses said, the day when thou came forth out of the land of Egypt. And he said, I want you to remember this all the days of thy life. We should never forget. We should never forget when Christ became our Passover. Christ became our Passover initially when we were water baptized for the remission of a sin. Just like they had to have blood on the doorpost and God passed over them. Well, we need blood also. We have to come in contact with the blood of Christ in water baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. And we should remember that all the days of our lives. Never forget when you was water baptized, what God did for you that you could not do for yourself. Our part was simply being obedient to God. God did everything else that was necessary for us. So remember when you were baptized and what it meant and what it felt like, and then let that be motivation. As Moses said, remember. And there shall be, verse 4, no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days, neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at evening remain all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So he was telling them that you can't do things the way you want to. You have to do it the way the Lord said do it. And then he says, verse number 6, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. So God, today God has placed his name where his son shedded his blood. And that's in that place is in the church of Christ. That's the place where God's name is because his son shedded his blood according to Acts chapter 20, and the verse is number 28, where Paul, when he was talking to those elders at Miletus, the Bible says in Acts 20:28, he told them, take Heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made ye overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. The blood of Christ purchased his church, and the church belongs to Christ. That's where his name is placed. And we find that in Romans chapter number 16. And the verse is number 16, where Paul, speaking to the Romans, said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That is the place. There is no other place. That is the place where God's name is. And we know that when we talk about the place, we're not talking about the building. We're talking about those that are members of the Lord Church. We make up the church, not the building itself. We are the church. And Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 14, he said, for the body is not one member, but many. And then he said in verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we are the spiritual body of Christ, and our mission is to seek and to save the lost, and then to keep those that are saved saved by teaching them the word of God. And so the Bible says back in Deuteronomy 16, as Moses continued with those instructions in verse 7, and thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. He says, 6 days thou shalt eat, notice, unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. So that the seventh day was the Saturday when they assembled. But we, as we know, we assemble, and we'll talk about it shortly, on the first day of the week. So that was the first. That was clearly, so those that are taking notes, this was referred to as the Passover, verse number one. Also, it was referred to as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that's verse number three. And then we look at the second feast in verse number 9 through verse number 11. The Bible says, 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. So we find here, it is referred to as, in the scriptures here, it's called, in verse 10, the Feast of Weeks. And then Moses commanded them to give a freewill offering from thy hand. There are times when we want to just give the Lord a free will offering, not one that's commanded, but it is of our own free will. I just want to give something extra because of what the Lord has blessed me with. And Paul and Moses said, then, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God. So whenever we give, when we assemble, we're giving to the Lord. We're not giving to man. We're giving to the Lord. And he said, do it according as the Lord has blessed thee. He said, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son, thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger the fatherless, and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God has chosen to place his name there. And so we find that when we look at this command in Leviticus chapter number 23 and the verse is number 16, we find that when it came to what was referred to as the Feast of Weeks, in verse 16, Leviticus 23, the Bible says, even until the morrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So we find here the word 50. If you turn to Acts chapter number 2, and the verse is number 1, well, we'll find that the Bible instructs us where Luke wrote, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So the word Pentecost meant 50. So it was 50 days after God had passed over them. God had commanded them to do a second feast called the Feast of Weeks. In the New Testament, it's referred to as the Day of Pentecost. Yeah, that was the second one, the God. And so God simply chose on this day when he had commanded those Jews to assemble in Jerusalem, he chose that day to begin the church of Christ. The Bible says in verse number 5 of Acts 2, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when there was no other abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. You have people, if it were today, you have people from all over the world that came and assembled in one place. Obviously, they would have spoken different languages coming from different places. And so what God did on that day, God allowed each of them to hear those men speak in their own language. And that's why they were amazed. In verse 7, the Bible says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue and language wherein we were born? So you have men from all over the world in chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 enumerates all those locations. There were proselytes, strangers of Rome, Cretes, Arabians, all of them, and they heard the word of God. And so God chose on that day to allow 3,000 souls to be added to the apostles and added to the Lord's church on that particular day. So that's what we find then. And so God tells them in verse 12, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. And so we need to remember when we were in the world and we were under bondage to sin, and how through our obedience, observing God's word and his statutes, God allowed us to become free from our sins. And that's in Romans chapter 6. And the verse is beginning at verse number 17, Romans chapter 6. And we need to remember this. What Paul wrote to the Romans, he said in verse number 17 of Romans chapter 6, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness and holiness. And so, for those where, back in Deuteronomy, he reminded them that they were no longer bonded as slaves in Egypt. We are no longer in bondage to sin. We've been set free. And Paul reminded Romans, just as when you were in the world, you gave your members to sin, now give your members to righteousness. Serve the Lord. Those are the members of Highland Heights. Whatever you can do to serve in a ministry, serve the Lord in righteousness unto holiness. And then the third feast. So that was the Feast of Weeks, or we call it the Day of Pentecost in the New Testament, where God asked them or commanded them 50 days after the Passover, they were to have a feast of weeks to God. And then the third and final, verse 13, the Bible says, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacle 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou, thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days, 7 days shall thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work of thy hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. Back in Leviticus, we turn there. And again, chapter 23. And this time the verse is number 42. The Bible teaches us that what God called the Feast of Tabernacle, it was also referred to in verse 42 of Leviticus 23, you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God. So God wanted them to go back and live 7 days in, it's called tabernacles, or tents, or it's called booths, because God wanted them to remember how, when they were wandering in the wilderness, how they lived in those tents, and how God is the one that brought them through. So we sometimes need to go back and remember when life may not have been as good or as well as it is today. Sometimes I like to share with people, sometimes it's good simply to thank God that things are as well as they are. Because anytime, life can be worse. And then Moses shared with them that God shall bless thee and all your increase. See, God is able to bless our increase. God is able to bless the work of our hands that we can rejoice. And I want to say to all of us, we should have joy. Our joy is not based on our situation and circumstances. Our joy is in the fact that we have God that is watching us, God that can help us, God that can lift us out of any situation and circumstance. And so, as I conclude in this lesson, the Lord, Moses reminded them of the Lord saying, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And there shall no, and there shall not appear, excuse me, before the Lord empty. Know what the Bible says? Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given. See, church, we ought to be thankful when God gives us an opportunity to give. And we ought to be thankful that God has blessed us that we can give to the Lord. And as Paul said to Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, a scripture where Paul said, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God has given us blessings with everything we need to serve him, and we need to be willing to give back to the Lord where the Lord has blessed us with. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, we come a Christian by hearing the gospel of Christ. The gospel that is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, tells us three facts about God. God loved us enough that he sent down his son Christ. The Bible tells us that, one, Christ died for our sins. Number two, Christ was buried. And number three, Christ rose again, never to die again. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, where you find the word the gospel, and that's what the gospel is. Well, one must obey the gospel. And we find obedience to the gospel in Romans chapter number 6, what one must do to become a child of God and a Christian. Paul wrote to them, and he reminded them, he said in verse number 1 of Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Christ died for sin. We die to sin when we complete that obedience. We hear the gospel. We believe it. We repent of our sin. We confess according to Acts 8:37. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we conclude that obedience and baptism. That's why he said in verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when God freed those Israelites from enslavement through the blood of Christ, that same manner happens to us. And when we are water baptized, the blood of Christ cleanses up all our sin. Now we are free, as we talked about in Romans 6:17-19, we are free from sin to serve the Lord. So if there's one today, if you are subject to the invitation, we ask you to get with the person that invited you to the call. They can connect with us so we can make it happen. You can become a Christian, be water baptized for the remission of sin, and then the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ. At this time, I turn you back over to us only. Thank you very much for your listening ear.